what would you say if I was to ask you what first comes to your mind if I said the word passion?
Fire. Christian Stanfield.
A what?
Do you know Christian Stanfield?
No.
Oh, this week I've been listening to the music movement.
Ah.
The Passion Movement.
The Passion Movement.
Yeah, it's Christian Passion Music.
Yeah.
I don't know how Christian Stanfield.
Good.
It's good. It's brought up.
Anybody else? What comes to mind? You think of passion? No.
Translation of the Bible?
Oh yeah. There's that translation of the Bible. There's also the movie, The Passion, mm-hmm. and apparently they're coming close to completing the sequel to that, all about Jesus' resurrection, where the stone rolls back and he comes out of the ground. So that's going to be an amazing movie to see.
Like Gibson, was it?
Yeah, he's done. He's doing part two, the follow-on from The Passion. So
awesome.
That's going to be, I think, a cracking movie.
Love you for that.
Yeah, Nettie.
Creativity,
yeah.
Because you're passionate about it.
You're passionate, yeah. Do you know what the dictionary says in the description of passion? It says strong. Let me put this on. Strong and barely controllable emotion. Yeah. Interesting definition for passion. Strong and barely uncontrollable emotion. And I think that's us, because the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we've got a gift from God where he says that in the morning, we wake up in the morning and the joy is there already, because you bunch out of bed, don't you? Your feet hits the ground and you're just like, ta-da, I'm ready for the day.
Yeah.
No? Not everybody. But basically, Monday mornings are meant to be a joyful start for the week. Because if you're not really sensing the joy, then you need to tweak something in your life to get your joy back. Yeah? It may be the fact that you need a change of circumstances, you need a change. You just need an overhaul. You know, and you just need to get some things changed and shifted in your life that gives you that sense of joy.
Or just become Jane.
Or just become Jane. Wonderful Jane. Jane's just so full of joy.
It's wonderful. I wake up in the morning, she's unbelievable.
Are you the early riser in the family?
I don't even know my name.
Don't ask
me
to do anything
after
9 p.m. at night.
Yeah. But early in the morning, you're full of it. Well, the Bible talks about that we can experience passion when we come into the presence of the Father. Now, what I mean by that I mean when you take time to actually wait on the Lord and actually just sit and just be. Because the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. So how can you know if he's God if you're not ever still? If you're so busy doing, you become a human doing rather than a human being. And so sometimes it's good just to be and to be that human being and just chill and say, Lord, I'm here. I know you're there. So let's spend a bit of time together and listen and see what he says to you in that time when you've got that time where you've set aside 15 minutes, whatever, an hour, whatever it is you feel in your day that you want to give to the Lord, and have that time where, because it's like a meditation time, but not only meditation, it's time for you to bring your system down, shut out all the thoughts of, I need to go on Facebook, see who's been on there, see who's doing what's happening. I need to phone the doctors because I need to make an appointment for mom. I need to do this, I need to do that. And I just think there's so much busyness in our lives these days that it's time that we take some time for us. It's time that we get to know who we are. To go back to when you were like almost like a child, when you used to have, there was no sense of, a little bit older than Zach right now, but there was no sense of struggle. There was no sense of, well, I need to do this. Life was fun because mum and dad took care of you. You could just go outside and play. You could watch TV. You could do what you wanted to do. There wasn't the responsibility and the pressure that comes later in life. But I think sometimes the Lord says, come back to when you were like a child, because he refers to us as being children, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. So we need to be coming back to that childlike faith where it's just like, we get to do a bit of fun with God. Amen? So I think there's something about the joy of the Lord that brings strength, but also helps us to refocus and retake back control of our life and what's happening within it. And in Romans, you know, Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, in his presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. So you get a double barrel there. So there's fullness of joy, but with the fullness of joy comes pleasures forevermore. Now, pleasures can actually be a whole host of things, but generally speaking, it's something that revolves around your life that makes joy part of your life. Yeah? Because if you haven't got joy, then you're not really a great person to hang around with, because if you're miserable, I know, like in Northern Ireland, this is a time when a lot of people start getting dread come on them, because it's September now, summer's finishing, and we're heading into those dark, dismal, heavy clouds, low clouds days where I'm going to suffer from sad disease. You know that seasonally adjusted something? You got it, Emma. No, I'm not saying you got it. You ain't got it. But there's a lot of people suffer from that. When the winter nights come in and days come in and the days get shorter, people just suffer.
And it's a
reality. But the joy of the Lord that brings pleasures forevermore is something that we should have that overcomes everything else that comes against us. Because if it's not of God, then it's of the enemy. Because his process really wants to steal from you, he wants to kill you ultimately, and he wants to take away from your life. He's not interested in giving you good stuff to actually make you feel better, because his whole system design is to destroy. He can't help himself. It's just who he is. But God's the complete opposite. He's love, he cares, he cherishes you. Well done, Zach. And you know, he brings that whole pleasure. He brings that, what he classes as an abundant life. So there's life in him. And once we connect with him, then we get to be part of that. Because he said he comes and dwells inside of us. There's part of God and the triune God that is in us, that we become a powerhouse. So the things that used to affect us shouldn't affect us anymore, because we should be bubbling. Interesting, isn't it? If God is in us, and God is love, and God is full of joy, and he tells us that in his presence are pleasures forevermore, where are we at if something's not there and we're not sensing it? We need to recheck ourselves and find out, okay, if I'm feeling really bad and I'm feeling low and depressed, well then there's something not quite right. There's something out of alignment, and I need to find the alignment that my God's telling me that with him comes pleasures forevermore. With him comes an abundant life full of joy. And if I'm not there, then something's off skew with. And I need to refocus and get back into what God's saying. I need to speak some positive declarations over my life. Like, I am good. I am full of God. I am full of joy. And sometimes you need to stand in the morning at the mirror in your bathroom or whatever, and stand and talk to yourself. Speak over yourself and tell yourself things that God says about you. It's a good practice to get into. There was a young girl who was in IHOP 2009, and we were there, and she got healed at one of the Friday night services. This was a young girl that could not look in the mirror. She could not look at herself in a mirror. Why? Because she had been sexually abused by a friend who had actually done stuff on her that had really wounded her heart, and her life shut down. And she felt dirty and she felt ashamed. So much so that she couldn't look at herself because of what had happened in her life. And God came and met her one night on a Friday night. Came, and she felt his arms wrapping around her. And she got delivered of all that guilt, that shame, everything just went. And she shared a couple of nights later about her story of now being able to stand in front of the mirror and look at herself and smile. That all those stuff that she carried, the baggage she carried for years, was gone. It just, in a night, gone. And God's a good God. He's not interested in hurting you. He's interested in setting you free. He's interested in healing your heart from wounds. He's interested to give you life and life to the full.
Right.
Amen. Yes. That's good news. That's why he says he's got good news for us. He doesn't come along and says, well, your life's going to be struggling the next 20, 40 years. You're just going to live to maybe 75 and then you're going to pop your clogs and go. No, he says, no. You should be living to 120 because that's his scale of when we should be living to now these days. So, but we all say that 70, you know, if you get 70 plus 4 years, you're doing really well. So anything up above 70 is a good marker that you've survived. But we should be looking forward to life and life abundant and life full of God, which means that we're eternal, but we're literally someday going to step out of this old heavy Chevy, this old little Cadillac that we get to walk around in, and we get to step into a new body, a new form in heaven. So we it's not so much that death comes to us because we know Jesus. We transition out of this life into another life where it becomes even more joyful than here. Because there's great joy in heaven. Do you know that when someone gives their life to the Lord in heaven, there's a party of all the angels. They have a major celebration when somebody says yes to having Jesus into their life. So there's going to be a marriage feast of the Lamb. That's going to be the biggest party you're ever going to be invited to. And it's like, you know, people have been to heaven, they've seen this table stretching for, that goes on and on and on. And there's all these chairs and stuff. And that's all prepared for us when we come for the, you know, we go for this marriage feast. It's going to be a big party. You know, so it's really, really good. So it's a normal thing. If you're around God, you can't help it, but God's presence comes to you. How does it hit you? I know for me, sometimes it hits me and I'll start to weep. But then later I feel really like, wow, something's greater, something's better. You know, so there's a different emotion type things that comes in various people, because the beauty is we're all made differently. So no two of us are the same, nor sense God's presence the same. We may see the manifestations similarly, but we're all different. Amen? So it's a good thing to actually be in the presence of God and experience His joy. And Psalm 51, verse 11, do not take away your Holy Spirit from me. This is David in one of the Psalms speaking. So, how can you know that something's been taken away from you unless you've had it in the first place? So David's obviously had gone through a season where he's felt God's been distant from him, and so he writes here, do not take away your Holy Spirit from me. And then he goes on to say, and restore to me the joy of your salvation. How many people have read that as restore to me the joy of my salvation? Big difference there between your salvation and my salvation. My salvation I've had. But when David's speaking here, he's saying, return to me the joy of your salvation. This is God's salvation that he's brought to me. And so when he's not around or distant from us a little bit, then we're losing out. So David's saying, come back, Father, because I sense you're not around me, and I want that joy, I want that sense of your presence around me again and again and again. I want back what I've already tasted, and what I've tasted was brilliant, and I know I can't live without it. Yeah? So David knew what it was to actually experience that. And in Romans 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So if the kingdom of God is made up of three consistencies, then one third of the kingdom of God is saying here is joy. It's almost a no-brainer, people. We've got to be joyful people. Because what attracts people to us is the fact that that joy that we carry, the peace that we carry, we're something different about us when God marks us that people see and people recognize and they want to be like us. Well, we should be having so good that the people will want to be like us, because they'll want to be like the Jesus that we emanate, who's inside of us for others. So when Jesus comes, joy is the best result. Amen? So when he walks in a room and you get joyful, joy comes. And Isaiah 61, 3 through to 7, it was prophesied that the Messiah would bring all oil of gladness and everlasting joy. So, oil. You know 3-in-1 oil? I reckon whoever designed that was a believer, because he realized the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and made oil. I'm thinking, I'm not sure on this for definite, but why would you call it 3-in-1 oil? Unless there's something in the mixture of the consistency. But I think this guy may have been a believer and realized that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit coming together makes the best oil that you ever have for your bicycle or chains. So Isaiah 61 is full of the description of what God wants to come and do. He's going to come set the captives free. He just goes on and on. If you read that first 9-10 verses of Isaiah 61, it's amazing what God wants to do and do in and around and through us and be in and around our lives. He's just so full of it. I remember a story of, I don't remember his name there, but there's one of the guys, Deppins, from Bethel. His name will come to me in a minute. But he's sharing that one night, on a Friday night meeting, they were had called people forward, and he was speaking on joy. And he called people forward. And this guy came forward who had had the end of his thumb cut off in some accident. And he said, I walked up to him, and he said, what do you want prayer for? And he said, well, this. And he held up his thumb. And he said, I looked at it, and he said, I put some oil on it, and I started to rub oil into the end of the thumb. He said, and the joy of the Lord hit me. He said, and I just couldn't help myself. I started laughing out loud. And I wasn't laughing at his thumb, but the wrong person could have misconstrued that. How dare he? That's really insulting that he's laughing at his injury. But he said, I wasn't. He said, I was just praying for him, but I was laughing uncontrollably out loud in front of his face. And I said, as I was laughing, the Spirit of the Lord just had fallen. And I said, and I began to feel something on my thumb pushing up. And I looked down and said, and there's this man's thumb growing back out again. And it grew back up and to a full thumb again, with the joint and all there. And he said, I was so amazed at what God was up to. He said, I looked at it and I thought, he's got no nail. And I thought, yeah, God's done his thumb. He'll give him a nail too. He doesn't leave it unfinished. So he called some of the students over and said, hey, look at this. Look. And this guy, you know, showed him his thumb and he said, students, pray for him. And as they prayed, the nail grew right back out again on this man's thumb.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, awesome, isn't it?
You imagine walking into work on a Monday morning going, hey guys, thumbs up for the especially after them knowing him and what he was like, you're walking in and just going, hey guys. I mean, that would be a real shocker, but it would definitely be a story for the Monday morning in the office or in the work wherever you work at. But God's good, and he does things not how sometimes we think it should be done. He does things sometimes a little bit weird and out there, but yet he does it to show us that he's God. He can't be kept in the box. You know, it's not normal for you to laugh at somebody's injury. I mean, that's enough to get you the fivefold ministry around the jaw. You know, so, but yet God did that, and that man got healed. So, yeah, so basically, God's involved in doing stuff around our, and it brings us joy. I bet that man felt really joyful and happy the fact that he got his thumb back again after the injury. You know, it's just like, this is God. This is what he does. He's full of joy. He's full of light. And he wants to give good gifts to us. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So, in Luke 10, 21, Jesus was continually full of joy. Some people say that word joy means relation to being drunk. Like being drunk through the Holy Spirit. So they're saying that Jesus was full of joy. I mean, he could not have been. He came from his Father in heaven. He's part of the Godhead. And if joy is a third of the kingdom, then Jesus had to carry it. And he gives it to us. So we get to carry it because we have the kingdom here and inside of us. Acts 13:52, the disciples were continually filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. So as they were the same, they were like getting that experience of joy, almost like being drunk. And there's another part I'll come to in a minute or two. But you guys need to be LUI. What? What does LUI mean? It's not DUI, driving under the influence. It's living under the influence. So we want to be so filled with the joy of the Lord that we'd be classed as living under the influence of the joy of the Lord. Amen? So why don't we stand up? Come on, Jack. Get up there, boy.
Yay!
Yeah. So I want you to turn around to the person behind you, or on Alaric's viewpoint, Alaric can view four people behind him, and just smile and laugh at them. Come on, keep going. Yeah. How many people are feeling uncomfortable? Yeah. Because you're doing something that you weren't planning on doing, but it's actually taking you a little bit out of your comfort zone. But going outside your comfort zone actually breaks things and releases things off your life, because you're actually stirring up that well, that deep, deep well that's in you, where things bubble up and the joy of the Lord comes out. So it's good to practice actually laughing. So another thing, stand in front of your mirror and practice laughing at yourself. You're the funniest thing you'll ever see. There should be nobody more funnier looking than yourself. So yeah, do that at home when you get back as well. You can sit down or stand, whatever you want to do.
Just relax.
Yeah. But I believe that joy, that stirring up the joy within you, is a choice that you make. It comes with the choice. You can choose to keep it locked down and just stay who you are, or you can choose to bring it out and let it and release it and let it impact others. I want to let it impact others. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith, not by sight. Yeah? So we don't always go by feelings or what we see or what's not there that we think we should see. We are not ruled by our emotions. Our emotions shouldn't dictate to us, well, I'm not feeling it right now, so I'm not there. No, there's something in you that's different than your feelings and your emotions. And your emotions can sometimes compress you, but you need to step over that and say, no, that's not who I am. That's not going to define my life. I am more than that. I have more than that. And step into what God has for you. Do not be controlled by what the world wants to put on you, and depression and heaviness and all that weighs you down and steals from you. Shake it off. Say, no, this is not what my God says I'm about. And step into the reality of an abundant life, full of joy, full of peace, and full of laughter in the Lord. So faith is a choice that will make us living out our beliefs. Believe is something that you know. You don't necessarily have to see it or feel it, but you believe that it's there. It says that believe that the Son of God has risen again from the dead and is the Savior of the world. I mean, just saying that doesn't make you believe. But faith in you knows that there's something about it, so you step into that realm of, I will believe that because I know it's for me. And when you step in, you believe, and your belief then releases the kingdom of God inside you and releases you into more of a life filled with the Father. If I said to you this morning, like, Alaric, I said, stand around and laugh at the people behind you. Did you stop laughing at some point? But if you did stop at some point, you stopped.
Yeah.
So the whole thing about joy and laughter is you can start it and you can stop it. You're in control. It's a choice that you make in life.
Yeah.
It's like you have a choice to actually go pray for the sick. Or you can choose to, well, no, not today. I'm not doing that. And God gives us that choice.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, the gifts that He gave us are for us.
Yeah.
But they're in us to make and bring joy to other people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we hold it, well, then we're holding something that's meant to be given away.
Yeah.
Because we've been first given it. And if you're given a gift, like if I give you a box of chocolates, say dairy milk this morning, I give you a big box of chocolates. Would you take it home and just keep them under your pillow? Oh, no. Yeah. Or do you open it up and hand them around, share them around with everybody else? Yeah. So there's that two sides, and it's a choice that you make. You either choose to share what you've got, or you keep it just for you. Now the Father's thing is, if you cannot outgive or outdo Him. So what He gives you, if you give it, then there's more. There's more to come. There's so much of God that He has in Him to give to us, and all we've got to do is believe that He wants to give it to us. So He wants to overflow our cup. So by overflowing, the overflow leaks from us and hits other people. And that's what is designed, that's how God has designed the kingdom to operate. What's in us leaks out and touches other people's lives. So we've got to be that cap of water that's prepared to give it away. The thing about God is, you can't outgive Him, because He's a constant flow. So when you give what you think all you've got away, He comes with more, and it fills back up again. It's like the lady with the cruse of oil, who said, when the prophet said, make me some loaf and make me something to drink, and she's saying, well, I have enough here, I'm gathering sticks for my last meal with me and my kid, you know, I can't really give you anything, because we're just going to eat this and die. And he said, no, you give to me. And something happened in that minute, and she actually went and made him a cake and gave out of what she had lacked in. She gave to the prophet, and the prophet got sustained. But when she returned, he said, now go get all these jars and pots from wherever you can borrow them from, and he said, start filling them up with your oil. And she must have looked absolutely shocked when he said that, but she did what he ordered her to do, not ordered, but asked her to do. And she filled all these barrels full of oil out of nothing. So not only was she able to sell the oil to bring income back into her family, but she was able to give away. So God gave her more than what she needed to get herself out of the situation that she was in, but gave her that extra to help sustain her and keep her going. That's God. There's always more. There's always, you can't give something to God and Him not give it back to you. It's just who He is. You can't thought or take away from the nature of God and how He operates. Being filled in the Greek is a present tense verb reflecting a continual sense, being continually filled every day, everywhere we go. So there's something about Him filling us that just never stops. You can't turn the tap off from God. But you can choose to stop it letting it affect you, or you can choose to open up and go, but I remember years ago listening to a preacher. He was this black guy, and he got up, there's a little video clip on YouTube, you can find it, you search, say, just search something, black pastor gets crazy laughter, and he's there, and he stands up in the front of the church, and he goes, he's like, well, one of these real southern boys, you know, and he's like, up there, he goes, well, God's good. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. And it's like 18 minutes later, he's still going. He couldn't do a sermon. He was just overcome by the joy of the Lord. And not only him, but he infected the whole church. Everybody was laughing or on the floor rolling around. So it was just such an amazing time when the Lord, the presence of the Lord just drops. Now, a few years ago, our son came to church when we were in the other building, and he sat right on the floor at the back. Now, this is a different scenario. And he was actually, I was speaking about David and David's mighty men, and how that David always said, I wish that someone would get me a drink of water from the well in Jerusalem. And I said, you and David said, and our son went to move, and just... Well, it echoed across the whole of the hall. Everybody heard it. Still on the recording today. Well, could we get it back after that? I couldn't. Because I was going on to talk about Bildad the Shuhite and the names of all the mighty men of David, which are like, they're hilarious. See, but when there's laughter going on in the room, trying to say them is even more hilarious. So we just lost the whole thought, you know, the whole plan of the service. But it was good because joy got released in the room. Yeah.
That's quite a lot of things.
Yeah. Zach, you feel free, son. Yeah. So joy is an amazing thing. So we've done the bottle thing, and John 7:37, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and rivers of living water will flow out from within them. There's that river again. And Ezekiel 47, if you read verses 1-12, it's all about the river of God, and it's a perfect description of what flows from the throne room of God out. And we get, there's healing in it, there's like everything you need in it. You can just jump in the middle of the river, just bask in it. It's like all of God's goodness flowing out of heaven, and that river you can get into. But there's that sense in us that when the Spirit of the Lord moves in us and gets in us, that there's something in us that we can release and let go, because it's the joy of the Lord that bubbles, and bubbles up and comes out. And we get to impact other people's lives. Amen?
Amen.
So I want you to put your hands in your stomach right now and say after me, Father, release the joy.
Release the joy.
Joy of the Lord.
Joy of the Lord.
And Spirit of the Lord.
Spirit of the Lord.
Bubble, bubble, bubble.
Bubble, bubble, bubble.
And let me be double trouble.
Carrying
you well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're just speaking to your spirit inside, which is alive and kicking, and like Zach, just couldn't wait to get out. You know, so there's something in you that God has deposited in you for you. But it's not just for you, it's for others as well. So you get blessed because you get something in you that's alive and thriving that you can tap into, but tapping into it means that you want to give it away. You want to give it to others and lay hands on them and see what God wants to do with them as well. So, I'm on my notes here somewhere. You know, and it was said, I'll come back to it later, but there was that story in Acts chapter 2 when the Spirit of the Lord fell at Pentecost, and Peter and all the guys in the upper room got absolutely blasted when the presence of God came that brought such a power into the room that the whole building shook. And then after that, as Peter said, because they went outside and they began to speak. And it was reported that men and women around there looked at them at 9 o'clock in the morning and said, these guys are drunk. Shameful. Look at them. But this time in the morning, they're out there staggering and swaying all over the place, and they're drunk. And Peter's response is, no, we are not drunk as you think. Not in the sense that you know, but we are drunk with God. And he makes us so drunk that we actually just, we want to talk to you about how good he is. And then they tell them about Jesus and about what has just happened. And 3,000 people came to know Jesus that day. But initially the word thought, man, they're drunkards, look at them. Bums, out this time of the morning, intoxicated. You can imagine how they were thinking. Now one story was one night after a meeting where the Holy Spirit had fallen in cold rain. And the presence of the Lord just fell, and they did this what they call a fire tunnel. If you've never been through a fire tunnel, it's like two people in a line of two different lines of people, and they put their hands up over you, so they're stretching over you. You've got to walk through, it's almost like a gauntlet, and the people around you just lay hands on you and pray fire or whatever they sense from God over you, and you go through. And Sharon was going through this night, and she got touched by so many people that by the end of it, she was like, she was literally crawling out on her hands and knees. She was like, I call her paralytic. It was like she had about 10 glasses of whiskey, or a bottle of rum, and about 15 pints. all in one go. She was like legless. And she crawled across to the pillar in the church, got to the pillar and slid down the pillar onto the floor. And I thought, oh my goodness, how am I going to get her back to the car tonight? And there was another big guy, Winston, with us. And we were going out on the main shopping precinct where the church was and walking down the high street, and they were both like this. Quite literally, I was holding an arm on each one and trying to keep them upright. And then Sharon takes off in a stagger, and she's heading straight for the Vodafone plate glass window of their shop. I mean, like, totally gone. I let go of Winston, and I just got over and grabbed her arm and stopped her because she was heading through the window. That's how fast she was going. Got her back, and these five young guys in their 20s were coming around the corner, seeing what was happening to us, and they turned around and walked past and said, "You guys are disgusting. Look at you, you're so drunk, it's unbelievable. Look at the state of you guys." And I said, "Hey guys, there's not an alcohol in them. You can smell them if you want. There's no alcohol, this is God." "Yeah, right, babe." But that's when the presence of God comes, it can take you to that extreme where you're just so out of yourself, but you're so joyful and full of it. And you know that when alcohol comes in your system, there's things you'll do and say that you wouldn't do when you're sober. Yeah? The same in the presence of God, when he comes upon you and joy is released, you get to do things that you wouldn't normally do because there's something in you that gets stirred up and fear goes out the window and you just say things and do things because you're sensing God's presence on you and you just want to give that joy away. Amen? And in Acts 3 in verse 6, when Peter and Nat were outside the later, they met this guy begging at the side of the road, and they walked up to him and said, "Silver and gold have I do not have, but what I have, I give to you." So they gave him some joy. And that guy's life was changed. So they couldn't give him money from what he was looking for, but they gave him what he didn't expect. And that was a touch from God, the Father. And that's what we're about. That's who we are. That's what we're meant to do. We're meant to be out there and actually just releasing the kingdom, because the Bible says the kingdom of God is at hand. It's at your hand. So even when you shake hands with someone, what's in you is actually impacting other somebody else. You know, a simple act that we take for granted. Simple, put a hand on the shoulder. It's much more going on because they're actually impacted by what we carry. Even we don't realize it sometimes, and they don't realize, but they know there's something has hit them, something has shifted. Because a simple touch or a hug, like when we did the free hugs at the show the other week, I mean, people have got impacted by that. Because you are actually getting right in to their space, and you're actually holding them. So the spirit you carry is hitting their spirit, because the Bible says, "Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world." So your spirit is the spirit of God, carrying God, oozing God, leading God, and you step in and you step into their scenario and you hug and embrace them, and things can get shifted and changed without them realizing what's really going on. Yeah? That's what we carry. If the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of us, what more do we need? We just need to do it and believe and release. So the release is the choice that you have to make, because it's a choice to go impact somebody else's life. Yeah?
That's true.
So this week, why don't we look for opportunities to impact somebody's life? And if it's as simple as just smiling at somebody across the office, well, you don't know what's going on in that person's life, how that could impact them. We don't know what's going on in other people's lives. But we know what's going on in ours, and what's going on in ours is crying out to come out. So we want to be releasers of what we've got, so that we shift and change atmospheres that other people are carrying. If someone's suffering from that whole SADS disease thing, we want to be the one that they meet during the weekend.
Absolutely.
That brings an encounter of God to them, that encounter changes their life forever. So much so that they're coming, "What happened there when you hugged me? What happened? I felt something hit me, I felt like pins and needles hitting my hand when you shook my hand. I felt fire, like your hands were so hot when you put them on my shoulder. I felt that. What was that? And people begin to ask you questions, and you really say, well, this is God contacting you and calling you into a relationship with Him, because He's a Father that wants to be known. He's a Father that created from the beginning of the garden, Adam and Eve. He created them not to be a good job and well done, but He created them for company, because He wanted friendship, He wanted companionship. And that's why Adam and Eve were made, because he made them for Him. So, and ever since that, God's been saying, I want to get back into your life. I want to be back. I want this relationship back. Now, Jesus, His Son, had to come and pay the price. What love did that, ooze out when Jesus was sent by His Father to die, to go through that suffering, to be raised again on the third day, to break the power of death that had entered into the kingdom of earth. That's the love of the Father. That's how much He wants a relationship with us. That He just goes wildly out there and just blesses us with a means to say, yes, God, I believe in you. I will make a choice today to trust you and say that you're my God, because you're so good, you're so amazing. I can't live without you, like David said. Lord, don't take your sense of you away from me. Don't hide it from me. Because once you touch God, there's something changes in your heart and you just want more of it. Once you've experienced God, there's something that you just desire more of that. It's like hunger in you. Hunger as He draws on God. Hunger as He is you releasing to God, saying, God, I want more of you because I've had a touch. And you know what? That river will never stop. So you can step into that river anytime through your life and get blessed. You can step out of it and choose to walk as normal. But a normal life, folks, is boring. A normal life is you just wasting away until you pass away. When you've been blessed with something inside of you that gives, number one, you life, you spontaneity, and actually you get to give it away, which impacts other people's lives, you begin to influence people in your community and around your life, and they get changed. Change comes when we step out of the boat and go get. Yeah. You don't get fish unless you throw the net out. And so there's part of God saying, come on guys, stir it up. Stir up the joy that's within you. Let it bubble, 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 and come out as double trouble. Because double trouble is what you're giving out to the kingdom of darkness. And the enemy hates it. Because he knows every time we step out and we give away what we've got, it's like another nail, but it's like another, you know where you're going. You know the battle's already won. And what can he do to the church that's best? Well, keep us silent. Keep us holding what we've got to ourselves rather than giving it away. So if he can convince us or sideswipe us to get us down that path, then he'll think he's winning. But when we step into what God's got for us and start moving in it, well, the world changes. And everything around us changes as well. Yeah? So joy, joy, joy is what you desire. Joy is in you. And it breaks everything. You ever heard a depressed person laughing? It's like an oxymoron type thing, isn't it? It's like it's not possible.
Yeah.
You don't get anybody laughing. Say, oh, I'm so depressed. I'm so sad. It just, that's you never happen. It never happens. But yet God gives the joy of the Lord for us. It's our strength. It's our freshness in the morning. And so we just say, God, give us more. And if you're feeling like that, and you're feeling a little bit low someday, like we said at the start, sit yourself down. Be still. And allow the presence of God. Look for the presence. And allow Him to come. So why don't you stand? Stand up with me. We're going to do a little exercise. So I want you to close your eyes and put your hands out at your front. Just like you're about to receive a gift. And the wider your hands are, the bigger you're looking for the gift. So, right. Let's just wait. Just calm down, calm hearts.
Holy Spirit, come. Thank you.